بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد الله تبارك وتعالى ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. Tonight you have listened to the juz number 5, mainly Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of women, because it entails many of the rulings and provisions dealing with women and the family. But as a matter of fact, when you look broadly at the surah, it deals with the family as a unit of humanity, and it deals with humanity as one large family. And therefore, the more you look into this surah, as a matter of fact, you will find it very rich, almost including all the guidance, whether to the small world called the family or the large family called the world. Within the family, it describes the ideal situations, and it describes some of the ailments and abnormalities entailing family life, and it depicts how honorable and peaceful and God-observing families should be. I noted that there is one ayah in the verse that often raises debates or invites attacks upon the Quran and upon Islam, etc. And that is where it says, if your women, your wives, are subject to commit abominations, then you'll have to admonish them, advise them, and if it doesn't work, keep away from them in bed, that is, sexually, and if they don't respond, beat them. As a matter of fact, when the Prophet received this verse, he said, I was about to forbid the Muslims from beating their wives, but now that the Quran said so, I don't want to look as if I am contradicting God. This question has been a sore point in the criticism of non-Muslims to Islam. As a matter of fact, when I look at it, I don't see any reason or cause for this. Because at the time, this was a social norm. It wasn't a crime. It wasn't even cruelty. This society was well versed in this, and it was social, a social behavior. The Prophet himself wanted the Muslims not to do it. He never did it. And the good Muslims of the Sahaba never beat their wives. But I would like to call to attention another example in modern times, and that is beating children. When I was at primary school, a long time ago, but at least this is in the 20th century, our teachers used to hit us. Extend your hand and I do like this, and the teacher would beat me with a ruler or a stick. And this was normal. Times have changed, and now this is forbidden, and nobody does it. So it shouldn't be that shocking if we hear about something that used to be normal 1,000 years ago and try to apply our modern present day rulings on it. This has changed because social customs change. Now it is socially unacceptable to beat wives, and it is socially unacceptable to beat small children. So I cannot find really an indication for attacking Islam from this point. Otherwise, the surah stretches and describes so many relations, mu'min with mu'min, our stand towards the Prophet. We should obey our Prophet. And the Sunnah has a place in our life as today. There is relation between Muslim and the Muslim. There is relation with the Munafiqeen, the hypocrites. There is relation with Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. And so the verse, as a matter of fact, the surah summarizes all kinds of human relations all within one surah. And it occurred to me some years ago, God wants us to behave, is to come to the conclusion that human relations are actually not human relations. Whatever you do in your life, dealing with fellow human beings, is part of one relation, and that is your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you do something good to me, I say thank you, because I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet tells us, if you don't thank people, then you cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be a thankful person. If you have problems with your wife, for example, so many people today get married and a month or years later they have their disputes, and the divorce has become very easy, and we live in days where marriage looks to be like trial marriage. You take it, you try it, if you don't like it, return it. Whereas the Quran says about our wives, even if you hate them, it might be you hate something, and Allah has put lots of good into it. And so the mu'min, even if they have dispute with his wife, would say, well, after all, I should be patient, because there might be good in this unknown to me. And because there will come the time when I stand before God and my mistakes and errors and sins will be shown to me, and then I'll be asked, what do you want? And naturally I'd say, I want forgiveness. Then I'll be told, did you give forgiveness in your life when you were able to give it? If I said, yes, my Lord, my wife did this, I forgave. My friend did that, I forgave. My enemy did that, I forgave. I lived a forgiving life. And logically, the answer will be, then you deserve forgiveness. And therefore, I would advise you to put your life in this world in that perspective. It looks like you are dealing with people. But in fact, all the time you are dealing with people, you are actually dealing with God. And this would make you acquire a new perspective on all your relations, on all the good things that happen to you, and on all the bad things that happen to you. You might fall into mischief, or fall ill, or incur a loss. And as soon as you get the idea, God is testing my patience. God is testing my trust in Him. Alhamdulillah. It is painful, God, but I know you must have hidden a lot of good in it for me. Alhamdulillah. And therefore, as the Prophet described, if you are inflicted with illness or a difficulty or tested with loss of any kind, know that you are being tested. Know that this didn't happen to you because God hates you, but because God is testing you. And if you pass the test, then you will have the peace of mind, the happiness in this world and in the hereafter. And there is a hadith that shows us that, as a matter of fact, our dealings with human beings are the very dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith I am referring to is the hadith Qudsi, when the Prophet says, on the day of judgment, Allah will ask the one of you. Allah would say, I was hungry, why didn't you feed me? And Allah would say, the subject would say, God, how can you be hungry? And he said, my servant named so-and-so, whom you knew, was hungry. If you gave him food, it would have been as though you are giving me food while I am hungry. I was sick, and you didn't come to visit me. Oh Lord, how can you be sick? Your brother so-and-so fell ill, and you didn't go to visit him. Had you gone and visited him, you would have found me there. So as a matter of fact, I advise you to keep that perspective. Whatever you do to your fellow human beings, friend and foe, as a matter of fact, you are one side of the equation. The other side is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to give us the wisdom and the awareness and the taqwa to remember that all details of our life are a relation between two, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.